Stay standing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 17 through 20 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that they had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, and they despised us, and said, What is this thing that thou wilt do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but we have no portion, no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Lord, our church is at the new year with every other church, but you have seemed to poise us this year with a special task. I pray that we would listen to the preaching of your word as you've given it to us. Lord, I'm a sinner like every other person here. This church is a hospital, not a museum. Not putting myself on display or anybody else, but we're here to get from you what we need today. Lord, meet the needs of this church in a special way, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. All right. If you'll listen to me today, by the way, Miss Savannah, Brother Bob, can you take that back to Miss Savannah? That's hers. She's second row, right there behind Josh, the ugly guy there. All right. I want to help us today. I know we've got guests, but there's never hardly a Sunday that we don't. So our guests, you're just part of the church family today. I live that way, and I want you to listen. I love the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of the most exciting books for a growing church, in my opinion. And I hope that you'll leave your Bible open there at Nehemiah 2 for just a little while. We'll come back to it here in a moment, but I'll lay some groundwork for you, and then I'll preach to you just a little while. We'll be out at noon, I promise you. I'm doing my best to do better with your time. I respect your time. Israel has been in bondage for 70 years. Israel was destroyed by the Babylonians, and Jerusalem was, the Bible uses the term, was laid waste. When the Babylonians came in, they literally destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem. If you go back to certain parts of the Bible, it'll tell you that it was destroyed so badly that there was not one stone left built upon another. That's all the buildings, the wall that went around the city, every part of it. Then after they did that, they burnt everything. And it had been laying waste for 70 years. Now that's a long time. Many of you, Fred's the only one old enough to remember it, but many of you would remember back in World War II when we dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. It literally destroyed the entire city. There wasn't much left. There was very little structure left in Hiroshima. That was 71 years ago. Imagine Hiroshima not being touched since we dropped that bomb, God coming to you and say, okay, we're going to go rebuild it, and I'm commissioning you to go rebuild the wall around the entire city. That's what happened to Nehemiah. They had been in slavery for 70 years, in bondage for 70 years, and God came to Nehemiah and said, I'm going to use you, you're going to take a group of people, and you're going to go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and then I'll send people in to go back and rebuild the actual city, but you got to build the security first. You got to build the availability to house everybody and the protection first, and I'm going to have you go. He said, right. How's that going to work, God? A bunch of slaves and we have nothing. He said, Nehemiah, will you just listen to me? You know, Baptist preachers have been crazy for a long time. We just have enough faith to go out and do what God says do. And so Nehemiah grabs a bunch of tired, oppressed, overwhelmed, poor people to go build this massive wall. He went to the king and said, this is what God wants us to do. And the king said, okay, how much money do you need? Says, don't know. He said, well, why don't you go figure out what you need and come back? He did. And the king gave him the money to rebuild the wall. Sound familiar? We've been going to the king to find out the money we need to rebuild the church. Amen. So God used Nehemiah and this unlikely crew to go build this wall around Jerusalem. I'm not going to go into the details. It was a massive wall. The walls were about 30 feet high. They were about 40 feet across, and they went around the entire city of Jerusalem. They were massive. This is the part that I laugh about. They built it in 52 days. They weren't from West Virginia. they rebuilt this wall in 52 days, 7 weeks, a little over 7 weeks, 7.5 weeks, not quite 2 months. Now, the people joined together. They sacrificed. They gave what they had. And every family did their part. And when they were all joined together and focused on their part, the wall got finished very quickly. They sacrificed some personal luxury. They fought. They gave up some things to do this, but they got it done. Grace Baptist Church, the year 2017 is upon us, and I'm going to give you the words that God gave to Nehemiah and to those unlikely Jews. Rise up and build.
Amen.
Rise up and build. Nehemiah 2:18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. Grace Baptist Church, the year 2017, it is time for us to rise up and build. God wants us to have a building put up this year. I believe that. God wants his church built for him. By the way, we're not going to build an ornate palace. We're not going to build a cathedral. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't know what to do in one of those places. Most of those places are a cemetery with a building around them and a big room. Amen. They got people buried in the walls and everything. I wouldn't want to go to church and dead people living there. Amen. No wonder those places got spooks and stuff all over the place. But may I say this, we're going to build a building that's there for people. Build a building that's practical. We're not going to build above our need right now. And I'm going to warn you, everybody smile, I love you. It's not going to be big enough because we're going to fill it up real fast. You say, we'll build a bigger one. We can't afford it yet, but once we fill up the old one, we might be able to. But we're going to build what we can afford right now because we got to get a building and get it going.
That's right.
We face the impossible. pardon me, but we're not the wealthy, high-class church type to impress the world. We're a church built for common people.
Yes.
We're a hospital, not a museum.
Amen.
we're the common people trying to build a work for God to glorify him with and not lift ourselves up. Our church isn't going to be a country club.
That's right.
It's not going to be a lodge.
Amen.
It's not going to be a societal place where the high-end people want to come hold their meetings. But it's going to be a revival place where God wants to meet with his
Amen.
People.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a place for people that are sin-sick to come and get their soul and their spirit healed up. It's going to be a place for lost people to come in and get saved. It might be a little bit more like an old-fashioned tent revival than like the high society stuff, but may I say this, it's going to be a place that God has built for him, not for us.
Amen.
You may not like the colors we pick. Well, I wouldn't choose that for my house, not your house, it's God's house.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you're colorblind. I know, but I know how to pick colors out and we'll get it fixed, all right? I am so colorblind, it's not even funny. My son and I were on a blood trail for a deer that I'm walking through blood and I can't see it. Brother Larry, I cannot. My son picks up a leaf that's got blood in it. He said, see that, Dad? I said, not till you poured it out. I cannot see it. And I've killed a lot of deer in my life. You say, how do you track them? Hoof marks, and usually if you hit them right, you don't have to track very far, amen? That's the best way. Now, may I say this? You might not have chosen the colors we'll choose. May I say this? It's not your house, it's God's. If you'll trust a preacher that's been preaching for 36, almost 37 years, I've been in church work full-time for 27 years, I think I know a little bit more about churches and church buildings than the average person. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but if you'll just trust me, I promise you everything's going to be all right. Now, we didn't decorate this place, obviously. We don't plan on being here long. This room is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're squeezed into here. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you sit too close. I know that it's not the best building in the world, but it's a place God gave us so that we could shrink our debt and shrink what goes out every month to be able to handle building another building.
Amen.
We had a huge building, too big for us, 37,000 square feet, $8,000 a month, too. We had to cut $6,000 a month going out so that we could recover and be able to handle a building loan as well as this loan till we could get out of here. We did what we had to do. I don't believe in being foolish, but at some point in time, you got to be wise enough to say, this is what we got to do. I've had over 100 people, 100 adults tell me, as soon as you get your new building, let us know. We'll come back and probably join your church. But we don't like where it's at right now, and we can't stand being in that room so tightly packed. You say, well, people shouldn't be that way. They are. I'm not angry with them. I understand. Our crowd's going to double and triple like that. I promise you. But we just got to do what we got to do till we get there. Now, all that to say this, we're going to face some obstacles. It's not going to be all cherries and cream, amen? It's not going to be all easy, because those cherries got pits in them. You're going to bite down on one and do like I do. My wife can make a cherry pie. Everybody in the house can eat some of it, and I'm the one that gets the one with the pit in it. Matters not, all the time. You say, well, doesn't she use the canned stuff? I get them out of the canned stuff even. It doesn't matter. I can find that one spot. Amen? Now, I say that to say this. Our new theme for 2017 is this. Brother Stoltz, Brother Bob, pick the two ugliest guys to hold this up for me. You hold that side, Brother Bob. Whoa. Rise up and build. Rise up and build. You can hook it right up on top of there behind me, not on front of my face, all right? Now, watch me, not them. I'm better looking than both of them. We'll fix it to where it doesn't crinkle up later, but I just wanted you to be able to see some of that. Grace Baptist Church, 2017, time for us to rise up and build.
Amen.
That's what we're building. It's over there, and we're going to make it happen some way, somehow. Just as God used Nehemiah and the common Jews to do the impossible, God wants our church to do the same. We don't have a whole lot to work with. Three old codgers, two draft dodgers. Bunch of common folk. Say, well, where's your structural engineers? We're hiring them. Say, where's it all going to happen, preacher? God's going to take care of it. Now, today I want to show you how we're going to do this. I'm going to use the Bible and show you how we're going to do this. Number one, we must keep God's hand upon us.
Amen.
We must keep God's hand upon us. Let me say this as humbly as I know how. God's hand is upon this church.
That's right.
I claim none of that for me.
That's
But God's hand is upon this church. You don't understand it like I understand it. God's blessed us with 4 visitors this morning. Can I tell you something? Most churches don't see that in a year.
That's right.
We got that on the first Sunday of the year.
Amen.
We had almost 300 visitors just last year. 48, 49 weeks out of 52 weeks last year, we had visitors. 51 out of 52 weeks the year before, we had visitors. In the last 2 years, in the last 104 weeks, this church has seen visitors 99 or 100 weeks out of 104 weeks. God's hand is upon us. God's hand is upon us. We see it in people saved. This church has seen well over 2,500 people get saved. We had people saved yesterday out soul winning. We have people saved. I don't know that we've had a week go by in almost 4.5 years where we haven't seen somebody get saved. God's hand is upon that. Can I tell you something? We see it in people's lives that are changed. God is in the life-changing business. I believe that. God wants to see people's lives changed. Just look around how God's changed some people in this room. I remember the first Sunday, Larry and Sherry came. They walked through the door, and I looked at them, and I said, "Folks, we're not a fancy group of people." They remember me saying this. I said, "If you're looking for highbrow, fancy stuff, you're in the wrong spot." I said, "I'm just plain meat and taters." Larry looked at me and said, "Good, I don't like that other stuff." I got done preaching, and Sherry came down the aisle and got saved. Larry was white knuckling the chair, and Brother Ron went back, walked over, and won Larry to Christ. They came back the next week and got baptized, and the rest is history. We've seen a whole bunch of folks come and get saved because of how God worked through them. Just this last summer, Sherry's brother, Ricky, dying of cancer. She said, "Preacher, he's rough." My son Josh was back. It was right before they moved to Florida. Stood at the door and won Ricky to the Lord. 5 weeks later, he died and went to heaven. Can I tell you something? God's in the life-changing business. He's in the eternity-changing business. And God's hand is upon us. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I went down to Washington, D.C. Brother Harry Sear was supposed to have a heart cath done. You don't understand. When they called his name to go do the paperwork, he walked from about where Ellen Moore is to where Brother Stoltz is and had to stop and go before he got there. And I looked at my wife and said, "He's not coming out of here without surgery." They did the heart cath. They found out he needed 5-way bypass surgery. 3 of them were 95% closed. 2 of them were 90% closed. And one of them was bulging. It's supposed to be about the size of your little finger, and it was as big as a quarter or bigger, and for about 3 inches outside the heart. It was ready to pop. And the heart cath doctor said, "Well, why don't you go home for the holidays, and we'll have you back next week after Thanksgiving." 27 years full-time service, I've never done this. I said, "Doc, he's not going anywhere." I said, "Can he have surgery today or tomorrow?" And Harry just looked at me. I said, "You go find out what's on the schedule." And I looked at him and I said, "Folks," I said, "I love you enough to tell you the truth." I said, "I saw one picture of that heart cath." I said, "Harry, if you get up out of that bed, you're not going to make it back." I said, "Will you please trust me?" I said, "I wish we could call your family together and have them make a decision. You don't have time." 6 o'clock the next morning, they wheeled him into surgery. 5:45, I called. I prayed with them over the phone. They were all the way down in D.C. I prayed with them. Family was there. They put me on speakerphone. They wheeled him off, came back. I promise you, my wife knows this. When they had him opened up, they got him opened up. They got him on bypass. Shortly after they got him on bypass, before they actually started the surgery, that artery popped. If they had not had him on bypass, he was gone. Mm. That's God. That's not me. That's God. God's hand's upon this place. Good night. There sits Brother Fred. He was supposed to have been dead before last Christmas. He too mean to die. Too ornery. But if he'd have died, he wouldn't have gone to heaven because he was lost. But I remember the day sitting in his living room. My wife and his wife were sitting in the dining room praying at the table. And I remember when he bowed his head and trusted Jesus as a Savior.
Amen.
He was on hospice, supposed to die. They've taken him off hospice. They don't like him anymore. God's hand's upon this place. I remember the day I looked at Wally. He was in a home type situation, and I looked at her and said, "Are you calling the ambulance or am I?" He was dying. He was hours from death. Literally, the doctor told him, "You were hours from death." God's hand was upon it. It's not me, it's God. God's hand is upon this place. We see it in how God's met the needs of our church financially. Oh, my soul. You just don't understand. We raised $54,000 in bonds for us to buy that property. And the property's titled to us. It's not titled to a title company. It's in our name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now watch this. Then the Lord gave us a $45,000 gift from a group of Christian businessmen to help pay for the property. Took care of all the closing costs and half the price of the property. Now watch this. Then we had somebody give us a $10,000 check. They visited our church one time and sent a $10,000 check. Now, we've got the opportunity. A man that I worked for over a quarter century ago has said, if we raise $30,000 in the next couple of weeks, he'll match what we have and the 30 and give us a $60,000 check. That'll give us 20% down we need on the loan. So we're working at raising the $30,000 so that God can take care of the rest. God's meeting the needs. By the way, that stuff doesn't happen. I don't go around calling people and telling them. That man did not know. He had to email me 3 times before he found out we needed money for a building. I wouldn't tell him. It wasn't until I sent him the architectural plans that he said, "How's the bank loan going?" I said, "I don't know. I meet with the bank." He said, "How much you got in the bank?" I wanted to say, "It's none of your business." But I said, "Not enough." I said, "We got about X amount." He said, "Well, Merry Christmas. Tell your folks if they can raise the 30, I'll give you 60. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's rise up and build.
Amen.
Let's rise up and build. We should continue to beg God to keep his hand upon us. I was talking to Brother Ron this morning. We were standing right there. No, we were standing right here. And I said, "Brother Ron, every Sunday morning I'm up early. Every day of my life. And I say, oh God, please, would you do it again?" You know, I don't get up and expect God to do what God does. I have no right to expect God to do anything for me. He kept my wicked soul out of hell. Past that, anything else is a blessing.
Yes.
I have no right to demand of God anything.
That's right.
Nothing. But I beg him, please keep your hand on us. Please keep your hand on us. Please keep your presence known here. And every Sunday, we see God do it. We watch God do it. The spirit of this church is unbeatable, I promise you. Friendly, family, sarcastic and snotty. I mean, all of those things. It's common. By the way, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Did you ever notice that Jesus ministered to the common man? He preached to the common man. Now, I'm not against folks that have wealth. Can I tell you something? God says, make unto yourselves friends of the mammon of this world. I have friends who have money, but they don't go to church. Some of them go to other churches. Great. But I don't go, I need something. Dr. Anderson was here, giving millions and millions and millions of dollars to the work of God all over the world. He looked at me and said, "Brother Bush, isn't it sad that the only person you can go to is God? Isn't it sad that the only person you can ask for what you need is God? And he just gave me that grin. I said, yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't advertise my needs to anybody else, but God takes care of them. I said, I'd rather have God than anything. He just smiled. He said, son, he said, you've never asked me for anything. I said, no, sir, I'm not going to ask you for anything. I said, I don't need what you got. I need what God's got. He said, that's why I like you. I said, I'm glad you like me, but I'm not asking you. And by the way, we didn't. He said, well, did he give us anything? Yeah, he put us in contact with the people that gave us $45,000. What more could I didn't even ask him for that. He called me after he left here. That's what God does. Now, watch this. Geography and buildings have no factor in God's hand upon us. God had his hand upon us when we were in a rented warehouse. God's got his hand on us in this rented store building, business building. Can I tell you something? We're not going to suddenly have God's hand upon us just because we build a new building. Four walls don't make a church. It's the people inside. The walls on the outside don't determine what's going on the inside. We've got to be right with him and begging him so that his hand is upon us so that we can rise up and build. Number two, I got to hurry. Rising up and building requires action. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Rising and building requires action. Those aren't sitting words. Those are action words. We're not going to sit on our blessed assurance and build a building. We're going to have to rise up and build. It doesn't say sit there and think about building. It says rise up and build. It doesn't say sit there and dream and doodle on paper what you want. It says rise up and build. Say, well, preacher, I see the floor plan. I think it ought, well, you let me take care of the floor plan. God take care of, you take care of filling it up.
That's right.
We've got to rise up and build. And by the way, rising up and building is not just a building, it's people. I preached a sermon a few months ago. The church is not a building, it's people.
That's right. Yep.
This church is not based on a building, it's based on a people. In us meeting the needs of people and taking the gospel to them and reaching out and helping people and seeing God change their lives. I realize it's a holiday. I realize we probably have 30 people gone today. I counted over 30 folks not here today. It's okay. I expected it. But may I say this? There's a whole town full, a couple counties full for us to go out and let's go fill it up. Action is done on purpose. Do you know you don't rise up and build by accident? Do you know that builders didn't come to me and banks come to me and say, oh, we'll give you the money and we'll do the drawings for you and we'll do all this for you just because we like you? Don't we wish it worked that way? I do. Man, I've met with people. I've fought with bankers. I've fought with business people. Every business person I met said, you shouldn't buy that property till you have a loan to build your building. I said, go take a hike. I said, God's given us the property. We got enough to take care of the property. We're going to buy the property. I'm going to take first step and let God take the next one.
That's right.
It took us a while, but we're getting ready to take the next step. Everybody doing all right? Most every business person told me, don't do that. It's not wise. Don't do that. It's not wise. This is what they said. Look how many churches buy property and never get anything built on it. I said, well, we're not those churches and I'm not those pastors. I said, you don't understand. I don't work that way. I don't sit still. I don't drink coffee and play golf every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and work part-time, get my sermons off the internet. I said, I believe in getting out there with the people, rubbing shoulders with them, knocking on their doors. I said, helping them, being in the hospital with them, meeting their needs, and God take care of the rest.
Yes, sir.
I bucked the system. You say, why? Just because you're a rebel? Probably. I don't know, but I just know this. God says, take as many steps as you can. That's what faith is, and then I'll pick up the rest. Faith isn't this foolish, oh, I just believe God and all this is going to come about. Folks, I believe God, but it's not going to come about just because I told God it was going to come about. I don't believe God's going to take care of the 30,000 we need to give us the 60,000 just because I believe God.
I believe if we'll walk with God, we'll pray, we'll seek His face, we'll give what we can, God will give us the rest. But we're going to walk by faith, not by sight. We're going to do that which pleases Him. We're going to stay out on the streets, talk to more people, invite more people to church, see more people get saved, and then we're going to watch God take care of the rest. By the way, notice it says, let us rise up and build. Now, folks, I don't mind climbing on the end of the branch, but you're coming with me. Don't cut it off behind me. Everybody doing all right? It didn't say, and Nehemiah said, let me rise up and build. It's let us rise up and build. The Bible says the people said, let us rise up and build. If you read chapter 3, you'll find out Nehemiah gave every family a portion of the wall to rebuild. The Bible says this family built from this part to this part, and this family built from this part to this part. This family built from this part to this part. My favorite one was the people that had to build the dung gate. How'd you like to be that family? Oh, my soul, that would be the one I'd end up with, amen. But if that's what God needs, I'll clean toilets. I'll do what I need to do. I've cleaned toilets here. I've done all kinds of stuff. I'm not afraid of that stuff. Can I tell you something? It says, let us rise up and build. Every family here is going to have to do their part. Now, we are hiring out the project. I promised you this when we started. I don't believe it's right for us to quit doing the work of God to build a building. Am I doing all right? Well, we could save $50,000. Okay. And how many people are we going to die and go to hell in the process? How many guys are going to work on a project? Next crew comes in, doesn't like what they did, and rip it out and start it all over. And I got guys fighting with each other. I'm not going to put up with that. We're going to spend a little extra money to have somebody else build it. But then I can go to the builder and say, that's not right. Pull it out and redo it. And him and I can fight over it, and it's okay. Amen. By the way, I know the builder. He's a saved man. He's itching to build our building. And I believe God's going to even help him help us through all this. Can I tell you something? I'd rather bark at somebody that I hold the paycheck over than bark at y'all. By the way, it's not our job to build the actual structure. It's our job to build the people. If we'll keep building people, God will take care of the structure. I believe that. Now, that means this. We need to keep on soul winning. Or if you haven't been soul winning, it's time to start soul winning. It means we need to keep having visitors, and you need to keep inviting visitors. 11 o'clock at night at the hospital in the intensive care ward. I'm sitting there with Greg and Rhonda and her family. Her stepdad's laying in the bed. Here comes a walk to this doctor, and I saw her badge, and it says, Dr. Funk. I thought, I know that name. I know that name real well. And I said, Doc, I said, I'm going to pray with him before he leaves, because, and she just looked, she said, oh, that's fine. She said, I knew you were a pastor. She said, for some reason, you look familiar to me. I said, one word, Fred. She said, Skaggs. I said, mm-hmm. She said, he's invited me to your church. I said, good, when are you coming? 11 o'clock at night. Say, you didn't say that. Ask her. I said, I know Fred's invited you. She said, every time. But I was there, and one of our church families was there and introduced me to a police officer and his wife, and they've been working on him to come to church and his wife. I met him. Everywhere I go. Shoot, I was walking through the hospital. Neil, you know this is true because you was working. I saw him dragging his work around behind him, and I hollered down the hallway of the hospital. Hey, you never know who you're going to find at this time of the hour at the hospital. He come walking back. Preacher! Good thing I caught him working and not sleeping, amen? He doesn't sleep at the hospital. They'll stick things in you there, amen? They'll think you're a patient. Wait a minute. That means this. That means we need to start walking with God if you haven't started, or keep walking with God and walk closer than you've ever walked with Him before. True. Can I tell you something? Read your Bible. Pray. Come to all the church services. Start learning to walk with God. That's what it's going to take. I got to hurry. Number three. The Bible says that they strengthened their hands to do a good work. Notice in verse 18, verse 18, last part. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Can I tell you how you get strong? By moving. By action. By hard work. I happen to believe in that four-letter word, W-O-R-K. This is the work of the Lord. That means this: I ought to be tired every day I do God's work. Or I, not just because I didn't get enough coffee. I believe in working hard. Can I tell you something? You're going to get stronger by doing the work of God. You have to strengthen yourself before the actual thing takes place. I debated on saying this, but I'm going to. My children and my wife gave me a Christmas present. It's two Christmases and one birthday combined, amen? It's a year-long gift. But my kids somehow know somebody's son whose dad's a pastor in Montana. And this guy helps preachers, Baptist preachers, do an elk hunt because he's got enough property there to do elk hunting. Well, that's kind of one of those things I told my wife one day, man, I'd love to do that, but I'll never have the money to go do that because that's expensive stuff. They found a way for us to do it pretty inexpensively. Can I tell you something? This fat old boy ain't ready for an elk hunt today. This carcass isn't going to go up 5,500 feet, mile above sea level with little oxygen, and traipse 7, 8, 10 miles a day looking for a stupid animal. Say why? Because in the first mile, I'm going to keel over with a heart attack. How many of you have ever been at a mile high or higher? Okay, you can walk about the length of this room, and then you're about ready to, it feels like your heart's going to explode. I was in Colorado Springs in Denver area preaching, and my wife came out at one point in time, and the folks were playing volleyball. Man, I was in my 30s, late 30s, maybe early 40s. I said, I can do this. You know, after 15 minutes of volleyball, I was laying on the floor going, I mean, I thought I was going to die. I said, what's wrong with me? The pastor said, he said, Brother Bush, you're over a mile up. He said, you got about half the oxygen you're used to. I said, well, how do they keep going? He said, they live here. They're used to it. I said, well, I'm not. I didn't play volleyball anymore that week. I was dying. I've got to get ready, starting to in the next couple days, to get ready to cart this fat body all over the place. I got to get it toned up, and I got to get the heart to where it's not going to explode in my chest, and they'll have to quarter me and drag me out. Now, wait a minute. I've got to get ready before that takes place. I already looked at the elevation of the town where we're going to be and realized it's over 5,500 feet above sea level before we start up. Say, what's that mean? I got a lot of work to do before I get there. Now, wait a minute. The same is true with doing a work like this for God. We've got to get ready for when it comes. Can I tell you something? When we moved from the old building to this building, it wasn't convenient for some, but we still did it. Yes, it was convenient for others and inconvenient for some. When we move to the new property, it's going to be a little farther for some and a little closer for others. But bless God, it's going to be ours. We're not going to have an elevator and two flights of stairs and crammed into sitting on top of each other. We're going to have the room that's ours that God has built for us. Amen? Now, wait a minute. The more you do for the Lord, the more opposition you'll face. The more opposition you face, the stronger you get. You don't get strong without opposition. To wear off a little bit of what's hanging over the belt right now is going to take opposition. I got to fight gravity. Brother Hiles used to say it this way. My chest dropped to my waist. He said, I'm dropping weight. He said, I hope I live long enough to where it'll drop from my waist and come out my feet and I won't have it anymore. I'm kind of like that. I've been waiting for it to come out my feet, but my feet are going to be 3 miles long if I'm not careful. It's going to take some opposition. going to take some training. It's going to take some resistance. And for you to be a stronger Christian, you're going to face some resistance. You're going to face some heartache. You're going to face some pain. You're going to face some difficulty. You're going to face some setback. You're going to face not wanting to do it some days. You think I want to do everything I got to do? You think I like going into the emergency rooms and the ICU units of and people are near death? I don't enjoy that, but I enjoy helping people. I don't enjoy seeing some of the things I see, but may I say this, I enjoy seeing God work through it. And we've got to do that. You can also get strong to do a work that's not good. Notice it says that we'll strengthen our hands to do a good work. Did you know people get strong to do nasty things for the devil? There's people that practice drinking to get ready for New Year's Eve so they can hold more liquor. That's stupid. People that'll, can I tell you something? That means this, we got to separate from the wrong crowd. You know, there are people that are negative that'll tear you down. Well, stay away from them. Why do you let them tear you down? Everybody doing all right? I said, well, they're my friends. Are they really your friends if they tear down everybody they talk about? If they're talking like that to you, what are they saying behind you about you? And by the way, don't come here and talk like that. I'll label you. You say, why? Because I don't put up with that mess here. If you don't have something, my mama taught me a long time ago, if you don't have something nice to say, shut up. I'm sorry, be quiet. You know, we ought not be like the world's crowd. That's why we're not going to have the world's music here. We're not going to have the world's ways here. This isn't the world's church. This is God's church. We're going to do it His way. We're going to run it the Bible way, not what historically has been done. Well, history has screwed up a lot of things. Have you ever noticed that? I got to hurry. I've got 2 minutes. We'll face scorners and opposers. Notice the Bible says that they laughed us to scorn. They despised us and said, what is this thing that you'll do? Will you rebel against the king? Can I tell you something? Not everybody's going to like us building the church. They won't. It's okay. You're going to find people that will laugh at us saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. I have some people that don't like my stuff that's on the inside of my skin, my guts. You might run into some of them someday. Don't hurt them. Love them anyway, but they're going to laugh at you. They're going to tell you we shouldn't be doing it. I don't care. I don't want to be doing what they're doing. Why should I let somebody critical tell me what I shouldn't do? Everybody doing all right? The Bible says people will despise us because they're just against God's will. Did you know there are people that will despise us because they're against us doing God's will? That's what these atheists are. Well, you shouldn't be able to pray at a public event because you might offend somebody. Well, the lack of prayer offends me.
Yes, sir.
Why is it okay for the public schools in Maryland to lobby and get through the state of Maryland that all the public schools now have to have prayer rooms for the Muslims, but you can't put a sign up in a Christian or in a public school that says Merry Christmas?
That's right.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? Your family might be against you. I got some family that don't understand either. It's all right. I got a 98-year-old grandma I talked to yesterday. She was in tears. She said, I'm so happy for you, Craig. She said, I'm so happy for your church. She said, I can't do much, but I'm praying. I said, Grandma, I'll take your prayers over anybody's right now. Good night. She's closer to God than most of us. After 98 years, she's real close. Can I tell you something? It may be your enemies. It might be your friends. It might be family. It might be people on whatever you do, Facebook or whatever. Somebody this week, she said, lady in our church said, Preacher, I think I'm beginning to find out why you don't Facebook. I said, what do you mean? She said, I didn't realize how bad it was. I said, oh, yeah. She said, I'm getting tired of this. I said, good. I don't have time for it. She said, doesn't your church follow us on Facebook or Twitter? I'm not a bird, and I'm going to put my face in the book. I'm not going to Facebook. Amen. I don't have time to Facebook. If your face is in that book, you don't have enough time to Facebook. Now, I'm not against you having it, and I know some people can use it for a tool. I'm just not willing to try it. I've done okay the way I am. I'm stubborn and I'm old-fashioned, and I plan on staying that way. You know, people may wonder why we don't build a more ornate or fancy building. Let them wonder. Say, preacher, what's it going to look like on the outside? Vinyl siding for right now.
Yes, sir.
Say why? Because we can't afford brick. As soon as we can, I got the man that's going to brick it for me. But until then, we're going to put vinyl siding on it. Say, well, that's not real fancy. God didn't say build me a fancy place. He said build me a place. Would you rather have a fancy place or a place where God is and he can change lives in? Now, it's going to be clean. It'll be neat. It'll be done right. But it's not going to be fancy. I'm here to tell you. We're going to build what we need. We're going to build what we can afford. And we're going to build that which is practical. I shared those building plans with a very well-known pastor. You know him. He's helped many, many other churches build buildings. He said, Brother Bush, can I keep this? He said, I'm thinking I'm liking your floor plan better than the one I've designed for a bunch of other churches. He said, you got some good ideas here. He said, I see where you're... He said, what was your plan in here? And I showed him, and I said, this is what plan B is and how we're going to move about. He said, I love that. He said, can I get a copy of this? He's got a copy of it. I don't care if anybody else builds it or not. I'm not building it for somebody else. But I know where we're headed with this thing. It's not going to be fancy. But we're going to build something practical. Churches are supposed to be people factories. A place where people can come and get their life fixed and go back out and become productive and come back in and bring others that need help. That's what a church is all about. That's what real church is all about. Grace Baptist Church, 2017. Time for us to rise up and build. Notice it's not time just for me to rise up and build. It's let us rise up and build. It's all of us. You'll face opposition. We've got to strengthen our hand for the work. And we're going to do it. Number one, you have to get saved. After you've been saved, you should be baptized. Then you need to join the church. And may I say this, time for us to start the new year on our knees at this church, in this building, so that we'll rise up and build. Because that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. And I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't even come to you. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who would say, preacher? And I don't want you to do this lightly, and I don't want you to do it emotionally, but who would say, preacher, with my uplifted hand, I'm telling God, I'm going to this year help Grace Baptist Church rise up and build. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, if you raised your hand and you're serious with God, I know we can't put everybody at the altar here, but you come as far as you can, or you turn around in your chair, and you make that commitment to God,